We're going to be preaching from the book of Ruth this morning. Now, Ruth is found right after the book of Judges and right before the book of 1 Samuel. I know when I was a new Christian, I hated it when they turned anywhere but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I thought, oh, where's that thing at? And, you know, and so usually I try to help you. I'm not saying you're all new Christians, but it helps those who just encourage and helps them. Amen. All right. First of all, I'd like to tell you a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, a young man who was a graduate of Blessed Hope Baptist School, graduated from Hiles Anderson College Friday night. Aaron Boffman graduated with honors, has done a tremendous job. He was also given the Division I Bus Captain of the Year Award. And so the reason I'm saying that is Aaron has been a good testimony for his Lord. He's been a good testimony for this church. He's been a good testimony for his family. And I just want you to know that we appreciate it. Don and I are very thankful for what God's going to do in Aaron's life. He's called to preach. And I'm sure, you know, down the road here soon, somewhere along the line, whatever God's will, he's going to stay another year and take some classes and get a wife. And he's working on it. Yeah, he's working on it. And but anyway, up there, they just do not recommend people unless they have a wife to go out. And I understand that, you know, if that's their policy. But Aaron's working on that part of it now. He's finished with his schooling and going to take some classes and stay probably another year. But I just wanted you to know that, and we are very thankful. And I want you to know you have a young man that's done a good job. He's been diligent. He's served the Lord diligently and has helped held fast a good testimony, and I think as a church you should be thankful and grateful that he's willing to do that. The book of Ruth, let's please stand and for the reading of God's word. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read one verse, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll be seated, but I'm going to then take 18 verses and just kind of go through them a little bit because I want to make some comments so we'll get an understanding of the story. Now, when I said 18 verses, we're not going to, you know, spend a whole lot of time on that, but we just want to get a sense of the story and what's happening. Verse 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your wonderful, wonderful grace. Lord, this preacher understands something, and I want you to know it. There'll be nothing accomplished here today. I can't do anything by myself, and I understand that, and I know it. And so I ask you, please, to intercede. Help me. Give me power, wisdom, and, Lord, use this preacher this morning to just bring this message that you've given him so that, Lord, that your work will be accomplished. We just pray, Father, the things that need to be done in all of our hearts here this morning will be allowed to be done. And when it's all said and done, we'll sure give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. For we pray this in the blessed, wonderful, precious, lovely name of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The first verse there, this is a story of a man and his wife and two sons who was in a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. There was a great famine in the land. They had hardly anything to eat. It was not an efficient amount of things to eat. So he decided to take his family down to Moab. And we'll find in verse number 2, his name, the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites, of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So they left where they were. This was the promised land. This was God's country. And they left there and went over to Moab. Moab, again, like Egypt, is kind of a symbol of the world. They went away from the will of God in their life. That's what Abraham did when he went to Egypt. He went to Egypt and because of a famine, the very same thing, and came back, and he brought Hagar with him. He brought trouble with him. Same way here, when they went down, got out of the will of God, there's usually trouble brews. And I might just share with you, it's better for all of us to not get out of the will of God, to not get backslidden. You know, that's easy to do something sometimes, but it's the best thing in the world to keep close to God, not get backslidden, because we'll get out of the will of God. We'll get places we should not be. So that's what they did. And then he says, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. I don't know how long they was there. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I don't believe he was there just too long when Elimelech died. And the Bible says, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpha, the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And we find here that these two sons that was with her took wives. Now, you got to remember, they took wives of a heathen nation. We'll see that down here a little while later. But of a heathen people. They were not God's people. They were not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ or God himself. They just were not believing in him. They was believing in false gods. And that's what the Bible tells us here in just a little while. These are the two sons. And then they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So now basically what that's saying is she had no one left. She had no one left but daughter-in-laws. Her husband had died. Her two sons had died. And then in there she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. It looks like the country back where she came from, Judah, was doing well now. There was plenty of food. And so she decided to leave, and her daughter-in-laws rose to go with her. And wherefore, she went forth. In other words, she left. I don't know how far she went, but out of the place where she was. Her two daughter-in-laws with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. They started on the journey to go back to Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each of to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. She told her daughter-in-laws, why don't you go back home? This is your country. This is your home. This is where your home was. You've been kind to me, Naomi said. You was kind to my sons. I believe that's what it's saying. In other words, they seemed to be kind, good girls, and they was good to them. She said, but it's time for you to leave. It's time for you to go on back home. And he said, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. There was true love here between Naomi and these two daughter-in-laws. I think both ways. And they wept at the thought of leaving Naomi. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They said, we'll just go with you. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were growing? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Naomi said the hand of the Lord had gone out against her. The reason is they left their place where God wanted them, the country where he wanted them, the place where his will was, and they left. We take it for granted, and I believe it is true. I blame Elimelech for that. He was the leader of the home, but Naomi, of course, went with him. And he's saying, you know, God is judging me because the hand of the Lord now is against me. And so he goes on and he says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. We find that Orpha said, you know, it may be better if I go back. I'm going to miss you, Naomi. I don't want to go. But she kissed her and left. But Ruth clave to her mother-in-law. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. She encouraged Ruth to go on back with her. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And the Bible tells us next they went on their journey toward Judah. Now I want to start there, and I want to preach to you a message. I simply have called it, "Come on, Ruth, let's just go home. Let's just go home." They headed for Judah. You see, after the death of her husband and her sons, Naomi knew and understood they was out of the will of God where they were. And she left. She knew that the hand of God was against her. And she wanted her daughter-in-laws to go with her only if it was in their heart to do so. This is very, very important, and one of the points we basically are going to dwell on today, you know. It has to come from the heart if you're going to receive Christ. If you're going to walk with God, it has to come from the heart. And Naomi understood this. Naomi understood that she wanted her daughter-in-laws to go, but they had to go for the right reason. You know, I found out in life, the Bible even teaches this, that here Naomi, once she got her heart right with God, she then had a desire for those in her family and other people. I remember that well after I first got saved in 1966. There became a desire in my heart that other people would get saved. It's just something that comes along with salvation, especially your family. You know, Naomi wanted her family saved. She wanted her daughter-in-law saved. These were not saved people. These were not people who belonged to the Lord God. They were heathen people. And they had their own gods. But she wanted them saved. The Bible says in Psalms 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." David said, after I get my heart right, get my heart clean, I'll have a great desire to see other folks saved. I believe that's absolutely true today. I believe we all need to look at our heart and see, do we have a desire to see folks saved? I'm not asking you how many you've seen saved. I'm saying, do you have a desire in your heart to see people come to Christ? Is that one of the priorities of your life, that you want to see people saved? That comes along with salvation and a closeness to God. See, Naomi got right. She said, I'm going to go back home. You see, and all at once in her heart, she said, I want my daughter-in-law saved. I want them to come to know the Lord. So she wanted them to come, though, for the right reason. And that's what I would say to you. A person who comes to Christ has to come for the right reason. They must come because they know they're a sinner. And they're lost, and they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. See, we can find, and we'll find out here a few things, because she wanted them to come, but she gave them some reasons for not coming. Look at verse number 11. Get back there. Verse number 11, she says, "And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, and they may be your husband?" She said, it's not any good for you to go with me. She was giving them reasons why they should go back. And you know, I'm not saying we ought to do that in witnessing, but I tell you what, sometimes I've given an old sinner every reason under the sun not to accept Christ. I don't mean that wrong. I want it to be from the heart. You know, don't you do it just because, you know, it seems like the thing to do, or because I want you to. That's not the reason to get saved. And that's not salvation. It's because you understand, you know you're a sinner, and you want to come to Christ and be saved, you see. And so she gave them some reasons for not going. She basically was saying unto them, you know, it's going to be in a strange land. There's going to be people with different customs. Why would you want to go with me? Because it's going to be different when you go with me back to my place. I think sinners need to understand that. I think they need to understand, you know what? It's not the same. You're going into a new country. You're going into a new life. It's different. It's wonderful, but it's different. It's not the old Moab that you just lived in. Amen? So she was forcing them to count the cost before making a decision. And I believe that's what everybody ought to do. You need to count the cost. Do I want to be saved? Do I want to put my faith and trust in Christ? Or do I want to just stay in Moab and live the life of the Moabites? Amen? You see, I know when I got saved, I don't mean I sat down and said, now, do I want to get saved? But when I made the decision to receive Christ, I wanted to give my all. I knew I understood. I understood I needed Christ. And if I was going to go to heaven, I was going to have him. I think a person needs to come to that decision. Amen? And it wasn't just some emotional decision. That was not enough. They was crying. They was weeping. I think that's good. I see people cry and weep at the altar a lot of times when they come to Christ, and that's wonderful. That's good. But it's not the crying and weeping that saves them. Now, I'll be very truthful. I did not cry. I did not weep. I came forward, knelt. I go like this because it was on that side of the pulpit where I got saved. And I knelt down, and the old preacher just took the word of God, showed me how to be saved. And I said, that's what I want. I want to be saved. I got up, and he said, would you just tell him what happened to you? And I said, I just told the people, I just got saved. I accepted Christ as my Savior, and that's all I said. I didn't weep. I didn't cry. Some people do, and I think it's great. You understand what I'm saying? But emotionalism is not what it's all about. You find Orpha here. She was crying. She was weeping. Right along with Ruth. They both were. It was emotional about the thought of leaving her mother-in-law, you see. But what she was doing was making them face the truth. That's what I'd like to do this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're saved or not saved. I mean, I know many of you that certainly claim salvation. But I don't know where you're at. But I'm just saying to you, you need to face the truth. Amen. You need to face it honestly, you see. You see, she knew they would never be happy in Judah if they knew not the God of Judah. See, you're not going to be happy in the Christian life if you know not the God of the Christian life. It's when you receive Christ and put your faith in that Holy Spirit of God seals and comes in to live, and it's a different life. It's just there. You may not always be all different on the outside. There's got a long way to go and a lot of things to determine and a lot of things to take care of, but there's something different on the inside. Amen. Amen? You see, sometimes the Christian life and services of God kind of have a certain glamour about it. I've had people say to me, Brother Ross, say, boy, isn't that wonderful? Well, that's neat. I'd sure like to preach. Wait a minute. You better hold up before you say that, because there's a lot more than just getting up in a pulpit and preaching the Word of God. A lot more goes with it. You understand that. A lot more goes with the Christian life than just getting saved at an altar. That's a wonderful thing. That's what you do. But there's a lot to follow. Amen? A lot more to follow, you see. But you see, after a while, the Christian life, you begin to face the tears and the hardships and the heartaches. And it kind of loses its glitter, outward glitter. Because I want to tell you, every person that gets saved is going to face the hardships, the trials, the difficulties of life, because that's the way God grows us. That's the way God proves our faith. Every step of faith is tested. When a person receives Christ at an altar or wherever it may be, I'll guarantee you that faith will be tested. There's going to be people come your way, some of your old buddies, as they did me, come your way and doubt your salvation and laugh at you and mock and say, you'll be back with us. That's what they did to me. It won't be long. Well, it's been about 41 years. And amen. And to what you say too, you know, many of you have been saved here a long time. But you see, I'm not going back. No, you say, Brother Ross, you bragging? No, I'm just not going back. I have the Lord Jesus. I'm on his side. And I'm not going back. I die before I go back. Amen? You see? But that's the thing. There's the heartaches hit and all these, you know, trials come. They're going to come, folks. That's just the way it is. You see, until a man knows Christ and takes his yoke upon him, you see, and only then will he rejoice in the suffering that comes along with Christianity. You must take the yoke of Christ on you. I'm not saying you're going to have to suffer terribly, but I want to tell you something. There's going to be some rebuke in your life from the world. There's going to be some laughing and mocking and all of these things. Can you do that? Are you willing to do that? You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's what Naomi was saying to her daughter-in-laws. I want you to be sure that you really want to go with me. I want you to choose, you see. You see, when we know him, we love him. And when we love him, we follow him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you understand what it says? He says that they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, this isn't a game. Christianity's not a game. Naomi was saying to her daughter-in-laws, listen, if you're going to come this way, you're going to have to walk the right way. You're going to have to head to Judah. Amen. I have a feeling they had some hard times on their way to Judah. They probably had some difficulties. Yeah, they may have been people tried to rob them. I don't know what all kinds of things, but they was headed for Judah. Amen. You see, we're headed for heaven. It's a long journey, but it's a good journey. And I like the destination. Amen. You see, religion doesn't offer the blessing of a birthright. It's knowing Christ. It's not religion. You see, a lot of times people think you go to church, you join a church, and everything's just fine. That's religion. But when your heart is drawn by God and you see conviction of your sin and God saves your soul, that's what makes you ready for heaven. Amen. A lot of people, I'm afraid today, is seeing people who only have religion. And because of that, they don't want anything to do with it. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, don't be fooled by people who do just have religion. Look at people who know Christ as their personal Savior and are walking the Christian life, and they've done so for years, faithfully for years. They love God and they walk with Him. Now, I want to look at Ruth's decision. If you look in verse numbers 7 or 8 and 9, it says, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed him, and they lifted up their voice and wept. I just want you to notice, of course, in verse 14, it practically says the same thing. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. If you'll notice here, they both wept, both of them. Orpha wept and Ruth wept. Absolutely both of them. They cried. They didn't want to leave Naomi. Now, I want you to remember that, because what Orpha does, she kissed Naomi, but she went back. Look at verse number 15. It says, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. If you notice, Orpha was weeping. Orpha was crying. Orpha was sorry to see Naomi go, but she turned and went back to Moab. Okay, this is very important. You see, because everybody makes the choice. You and I make a choice. When it comes to this knowing Jesus Christ, everybody makes the choice. You make one, I make one. We either decide to go the way of the Lord or we decide to go the way of Moab. Orpha said, I'm just going to go back. You see why? She was unconverted. She was an unbeliever. She did not believe in the God of Naomi, see. And she would not have been satisfied with God's people. She'd have got down there in Moab and she'd have been sad. She would have been unsatisfied. She would not enjoy being there whatsoever. Why? Because she was unconverted. That's why a lot of folk don't like church. They're unconverted. Why would those who are unconverted, why would you want to be in church and enjoy the things of God and all of those things? Because you're unconverted, it's not in here. Amen? See, only the redeemed have a heart for change. When you're saved, there's things that change. I'm not talking about the change things save you. You get saved, and then all at once you look at things different. See, I believed in Christ. I got saved. Things in my life begin to change. I looked at things different. I looked at life different. I had different principles. You see, why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was within me. You say, that was just you that done it. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit of God comes within you and changes you. You see, but Orpha was not changed. See, you did not hear Ruth say, Naomi, I want your God, but I'm going back to Moab. Ruth said, I want your God and I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I'm going. Are you getting it? See, it's a choice. People make a choice on what direction they're going to go. See, Orpha kissed and quit. She had feeling for Naomi. She cared about Naomi. But she loved the people and their gods more than she did Naomi and her God. So she made a choice. Now, a reason I'm stressing that is this, folks. I don't care who you are. Somewhere along the line, maybe you've already made it, but you're going to make a choice. You'll make a choice today. You say, Brother Ross, I'm not going to make it. Yeah, you will. You'll make a choice today. You'll either choose to serve God and walk with Him, receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you'll choose not to. You will make a choice. That's exactly what Orpha was doing. She was making a choice. And she went back. She kissed her. She was sorry. She didn't want to leave her. But she went back to Moab and Moab's gods and her own people, heathen people. You see, in verse number 15, you'll notice he says, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. You see, Ruth clave unto Naomi. Orpha went back. She went back to the gods of Moab. All right? Now, folks, today, in all seriousness, I don't know what your heart is, but I'm telling you right now, if you're unsaved, you'll make a choice. You'll either choose the God that is God Jehovah, the true and the living God, or you'll say, no, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to what I've been serving. I'm going to go back to the gods of this world. You understand? See, choices will be made, you see. But Ruth wanted what Naomi had. This is a wonderful, wonderful verse. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. See, that's the secret right there. She said, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And where you lodge, that's where I'm going to lodge. And she said, thy people shall be my people. You see, she's going to take up a new people. Why? Because she was a new creature in Christ. Why? Because Naomi's God now is her God. And she made that choice. Ruth made that choice. Orpha, her sister, went the other direction. Absolutely different, you see. So we find that Ruth wanted what Naomi had. Ruth turned her back on her past life, on her people, and on the gods she used to serve. That's what Christianity is all about. You had to turn your life back on their life. Now listen to me. You don't get saved by turning your back on your life. You get saved by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's how you get saved. You put your faith and trust in Jesus and choose the God of Naomi, which is the true and the living God. And then when that happens, you turn around. You know, the old world's not yours anymore. See, that's in the past. You see, when I have trouble doing that, you'll probably have some difficulty doing that, but there'll be a desire in you to do it. See, Ruth didn't say, okay, God, okay, Naomi, I want to go. I want to go with you. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want your God, but I'm going to go back to Moab. Oh, no, 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 that's not the way it works. I see people all of the 37 years of my preaching. I've seen people who've said, I'm going to go with Naomi, or I want to go with her God. I want to go with God. And I've seen them then down the road go back to Moab. And let me tell you why that happens. It's not in here. It's not in here. You say, well, Brother Ross, how do I know if it's in here? Are you willing to just simply say, you know what, I'm an old rotten sinner? I'm just an old rotten sinner. I know I am because God says I am. And I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to accept Him as my personal Savior. I want to tell you something. You do that, God will save you. And He'll also, the Holy Spirit of God, will come into you and there'll be desires. The desires will be different. I've heard many, many people over the years say, well, Brother Ross, I just can't do it. I don't think I could. You can't do it. I couldn't either. No one in here could do it. We need God to save us and change us. Give us eternal life, and then He does change us. Yes, He does. He puts new desires in our heart. Amen? So I'm saying to you, don't give me that excuse. Oh, well, I just don't think I could do it. Of course you can't. No one else can. But God can through you. And that desire is there to do it when you get saved, when you're willing to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. See, her whole life was turned around. Naomi's daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpha, went in opposite directions. Orpha headed back to Moab. Ruth said, I'm going with you, Naomi. I'm going a different direction. That's what happens when we get saved. Say, I'm not going to make it easy on you. I'm not going to play games with you. When you get saved, you give your heart and life to Christ. And you're going in a new direction. That new direction doesn't save you, but your faith in Christ does. And gives you new direction for life. So you come down to it, are you willing to choose? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing for God to do that in your life? If so, the smartest thing in the world you would ever do would be to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and get saved, because then you're ready for heaven. And if you don't do that, you're not ready for heaven. See, only by putting faith in the way, the truth, and the life can we come to the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. See what happened in verse 17. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught put death, but death part thee and me. I want you to notice that Ruth made a clean break, a complete clean break. She said, I want to tell you something. I'm not only going with you, I'm going to lodge where you lodge. I'm going to live where you live. See, your God's going to be my God. But I mean, when I get buried, when I die, I want to be where you're at. And I want to be buried there. I mean, she completely made a complete break from Moab. See, it's what the Bible says after we get saved. The Bible says you put off the old man. Now, he tells us to do that. That's not salvation. The putting off the old man is not salvation. No, no, no. You get saved by faith in Christ. But then after you're saved, he says, put off the old man. Quit doing those things you used to do. Put on the new man. Start a new life. He also tells us in Philippians, the third chapter, Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. You forget those things. You put those things in the past. You can't help them. You can't help what you was up to here. No, you can't. You can get saved, though, and God will wash it clean and wash you and make you a new creature in him. But you can't help in the future. That's why he says in Romans, cleaving unto that which is good. When we get saved, we begin to want to do things that is good and right and proper. Why? Because there's the Holy Spirit of God in us, teaching us and training us, you see. Amen? See, she had no desire to return to Moab, even to be buried. She had now the Lord of Naomi, the same God that Naomi had, you see. She had turned her back on those pagan gods. That's what God's asking us to do. I didn't go to Andacona Lumen Company after I got saved and begin to do the things I used to do. I went to Andacona Lumen Company, and truthfully, this is true. Within a few days, I don't remember how many, within a few days, I was telling people what happened to me. Was it hard? It was hard for me, but there was a desire in me that I wanted to see other people saved. And over the next few years working there, I had the privilege of leading quite a few people to Christ there at Andacona Lumen Company where I worked. Was that me? No, it wasn't. It was a desire that God put in me. The Holy Spirit of God wanted me to witness to folk. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a change. There's a difference. All of it don't happen overnight, but I'm telling you, inside, there's a new desire put there when we get saved. Okay, we now love the Lord our God, you see. You see here, a genuine conversion, you see, has a changed heart, bringing a changed direction. I'm trying to be hard on you. I'm trying to tell you, don't play games with God. When you accept Christ, you're ready for a new direction in life. That new direction don't save you. Faith in Christ saves you. But you choose to go another direction. You do not choose like Orpha did to go back to Moab. You choose to go with Naomi and her God be your God. Are you hearing me? I don't want you to mistake the fact. Say, well, I've got to do this and that to be saved. No, what you have to do to be saved is be willing to put faith and trust in God. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what saves you. Do you want a new direction? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be ready for heaven? I ask you, please, this morning, if you do, Jesus is the way and the only way. There is no other, you see. She even said, I'll die and I'll be buried wherever you are. And so Naomi says, and the Bible says, she left speaking with her. In other words, they headed home. I think Ruth said, come on, Ruth, let's just go home. Now, I want you to notice something with Naomi. Naomi headed home, right with God, headed in the right direction, with a convert with her. Someone who had come to Christ. Someone who had come to God. I'm saying to all of us that when we get right with God, there'll be converts along the way. Because we'll be witnessing. We'll be trusting God with our life, and we'll be witnessing. We'll be telling people about Jesus Christ because that desire is in us. Amen. Naomi went home with a convert. Now, I just want to ask you where you are. Are you saved? Are you born again? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and accepted Him as your personal Savior, and you're ready for heaven? If not, I want to say something to you. God wants to save you today. The most foolish thing in the world would be to put that off. It's silly. It's foolish. You don't know. God may be giving you the last opportunity. I don't know. It may be the last opportunity you ever get. I know I don't know that. I'm just saying it could be, and that would be disastrous. If God has dealt with your heart today, convicted you of your sin, the greatest thing you could do is say, I want to be saved. I want my faith and trust in Christ. I want the God, Jehovah God, to save my soul.